Surviving Life with the Vambillies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings.
We are here today to speak about something that I think is not just important, but it's very relevant to the times that we are in, you know. A lot of us had to be indoors under the command of our governments. And though we did it, you know, a lot of us did it. I don't know. I know there were people who found ways around it, even people who had jobs that didn't permit them to stay indoors. But though we were indoors, though we listened, and we're afraid of the penalties that came with, you know, being outside when you were not supposed to, we didn't necessarily do it, you know, wanting to. You get me? Like, it was forced.
Yeah,
it
he was having a breakdown. It was funny.
Oh, man, I couldn't believe it. Why can't I just drive around in my car? Why must I be in the house, you know?
I have a picture of him having the breakdown. He was sitting on the floor on day one of lockdown.
I'm thinking, what? You know, and it was 3 months of being indoors, forcefully, okay? Now, it may have looked like we wanted this and we were these obedient citizens. The truth is we felt like we had no choice. You know, the truth is a lot of us did it grudgingly and we were angry. You know, we're worried about our businesses. We just felt like the government globally overstepped, you know. So I'm using that picture to parallel something that we see in scripture. When Jesus, after resurrection, left. Okay, so this is literally in the book of Acts. That in let's actually take it from, so we're in verse 1. In verse 3 it says, to these men he also showed himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs and unquestionable demonstrations, appearing to them over and over, over a period of 40 days, and talking to them about the things concerning the kingdom of God. While being together and eating with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. Okay? Of which he said, you have heard me speak, for John the John baptized with water, but you will be baptized and empowered and united with the Holy Spirit not long from now. So they then had to stay there, okay, and wait. Now, that waiting, they didn't do like we did during lockdown, grudgingly, angry, you know, looking at the walls. And now, you get me, now you're feeling why I had to bring that parallel. But there's a difference between just waiting and abiding.
Do not wait, rather abide.
And that's our topic for today. How do we abide instead of just waiting? You know? And I want to bring another picture to this. Some of you are being patient with God. Nah, just patient. But guess what? Patience runs out. Instead of being obedient, walking in obedience, not like, yo, God, okay, you said wait, and I'm waiting, you know, but I'm not seeing it. You know, a lot of us get frustrated because we are not really continuously being washed in that word, continuously being encouraged by our obedience. You know, looking at the situation and knowing, look, it's taking time, but I am where God left me. When he comes and he finds me, he will find me where he left me.
I quickly want us to look at the definition of the word abide, because to wait, which is biblical. I mean, scripture speaks about waiting upon the Lord, but there's a holy waiting. And I believe the holy waiting is called abiding. Mm. And there's a fleshly waiting, a soulish waiting. The one of God, where are you? I'm freaking out. I'm scratching the walls. I'm trying to, you know, get out of this situation. To abide is to accept or act in accordance with a rule, decision, or recommendation. So if the Lord says, you're a queen, to abide in that word is to accept it, to act in accordance with it, right? Or, yes, to act in accordance with that decision. A lot of times we will get a word, but we feel not just impatient in the waiting, but we don't even accept the word.
Yeah.
Oh, that is...
So you're saying you're waiting, but you've not accepted the word.
And sometimes because we've not received, to accept is to receive. We've not even received the word we've been given. It's making the waiting period so much longer. Because we're just like, give it to me. But we haven't said, Lord, I actually accept my call in this thing. And I accept what you have said about me. And I will walk in accordance with what you have said. I use Noah all the time because I think he's incredible. Noah couldn't just accept. He had to walk in.
Oof.
Imagine just saying, sure, I'll build an ark and chilling. He actually had to walk in accordance with the word that he was given before the word actually came to fruition. Something about abiding that I think will put our souls at ease is if we go to Genesis 2, verse 2, where the Lord speaks about what happened on the seventh day. Genesis 2, verse 2 says, by the seventh day, the Lord had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. That is the most important part for me. The reason why scripture says we must fight to enter his rest is because God is not creating right now. He rested from all eternity. That's why scripture says you have been blessed with every blessing in Christ Jesus. It is already established. It is already done. We're in a place of abiding in it, walking in it, receiving it, and claiming it. We're not waiting for God. If God gave you a word and said, hey, you're going to move somewhere, he's not creating. It's done. It's a part of your destiny. It's like when the Lord says he called you as a prophet to the nations in your mother's womb. That's something he knew from the womb. He knew the number of hairs on your head. So if he comes to you at 20 and says, I know the number of hairs on your head, he didn't count it when you were 20. He rested from creation. So the trust and the faith to say, if God said it, it must come to pass because it's already done. And how many times does scripture say, it is done? So the difference with waiting and feeling restless and abiding, I want to quickly look at another scripture on waiting. And instead of waiting, it says remain in my translation. Other translations might say abide, but I think it's interesting that this translation says remain. So it's about the vine and the branches in John verse 15, 4 to 8. It says, remain in me or abide in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. So what's important while we wait is to abide in him. Because to bear the fruits that have been foretold, you have to be connected to the vine. Because sometimes we go and wait outside of the vine, right? And we think we're still waiting on God, but the connection that will grow that fruit, those branches, is not there anymore. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So whenever God is speaking about promises, those are the fruits. He's saying, hey, you're going to bear apples because you're an apple tree. But if you disconnect yourself from the vine of the apple plant, how will you bear an apple tree? Verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burns. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Are we remaining in Christ? And I often say this, you know, when we read scripture, it's very important not to read it isolated, you know. Even though the scripture says, ask in me whatever you want, I will, you know, make come to pass. Scripture also says, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When you remain connected to the vine, the vine gives you desires. So what you speak becomes what is already written about you from the beginning of time. So your desires begin to match God's will for your life, and that's how those things will come about. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you see, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. See, the very next verse says, if you remain in me, my words remain in you. So when you speak, you're just speaking the truth of what God has already done.
Okay.
This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. So we want to talk about how sometimes in waiting we can go, because God can say, wait in the left corner. And you know, you're just waiting so long before you know it, you're like in the right corner. And you're not waiting in Jerusalem, as your scripture said. There was a specific place that they had to wait. Once they move, then there's an issue there as well, right? So it's very important to be waiting where you're supposed to wait. And to understand that in waiting, we remain in him. You know, you can get so tired, and I actually spoke to a lady about this yesterday. You can get so tired of waiting on that word for marriage. You're just like, God, I don't even care anymore. And you start living whatever life that you're living. But just like we see with the children of Israel in the wilderness, an 11-day journey became 40 years simply because they were not abiding.
Yes.
When you don't abide, the word tarries. Because certain things need to fall in place for that word to come to pass in its rightful time. When we start now living wayward, so you get the word about the husband, but you become so frustrated, you leave holiness. You're tarrying. The word will tear, because God is precious about his children. He won't just give us to anybody. He will give you to somebody who is also abiding. So the moment you now take yourself outside of that walking in accordance to that decision, then you're disconnected from the vine. And it's hard for you to bear the fruit that God said you would bear.
And we see this. I love how scripture really humanizes our situations. We see it with Sarah in scripture, where there's a word given on a baby, and she looks and looks and looks and decides, nope, here's my maid, hubby, make the child. And those situations, if you go and you look at the outcomes, it's never good. It's never good. And you almost see us creating problems by moving from a place of expecting and knowing God will do it to a place where we are going to help God. And I'm saying this to you because as a human being, I know how difficult it is to get a word that sounds impossible, that you know you don't have the ability to do. And in the scripture, it actually says Sarah looked at herself and her question was like, at this age, how am I supposed to have a child? You know, so a lot of us are looking and we're saying, man, at this state, how am I supposed to get 1, 2, 3, 4? Some of you are saying in this world where all men are this and all women are that, how is this thing supposed to come together? And God is saying to you, listen, don't go off in your own wisdom. Don't go off in your own knowledge. You know, don't also be unstable in my word. Don't take my word and dilute it and make it of no effect. You know how we read with the parable of the sower that there are words that God sows, seeds that go into the ground. And then something happens to the ground. So there's a ground where there are thorns and thistles. There's a ground that becomes hardened by the things of life. And then there's also birds, the enemy coming to steal the seed. So some of you, after God gives you a word, the enemy makes sure you meet a lot of people who failed in the same word. And they'll tell you, we used to believe that too. we thought we'll get healed. Oh, we thought we'll have a child. Oh, we believed God for a business and things fell apart. So he brings those people to come and steal the word. Yeah. And then slowly you begin to back away. You're like, oh, I still trust God for a house, but, you know, maybe we might just have, maybe not this season. Maybe we should go back. Oh, I still trust God for a baby, but, you know, we just need a, you know, someone to help us out. You know, let's go steal a baby. Mm. You know, we begin to come out and conjure up things that are not spiritual, things that are not godly, ways that are not the way God decided He's going to do it for us. Mm-hmm. There are ways that seem right. And they seem right to man because you're in a state of desperation. You're looking in your pockets. You're looking at your ability. You're looking at your lack of ability. Mm-hmm. And all of those things are messaging. Mm-hmm. And those messages are saying, back away from the word. Those messages are saying, 1 + 1 = 2.
Yeah, give up.
You know, so how is 2 going to come out of this when you don't have a 1 + 1? Mm-hmm. You're dealing with 0 + 0. And you're expecting a 2. The outcome that's needed is 2. Mm-hmm. Beloved, when we abide in the Lord, the word we are given is literally the most important part of this because it's the word that bears fruit.
Yes.
And that's why the word is painted as a seed. Mm-hmm. The word going into the ground. And when you're talking about the roots and the tree, if we cut the root from the tree can't just say, yeah, well, I'm a tree. You are a tree, yes, but you get fed by the roots. Mm-hmm. So there's an importance that there be a connection between that pipeline, where it came from. Some of you are like, yeah, I don't trust God, but let's see if He's going to do it. Mm-hmm. And you go sit. So you cut yourself off from the root. That's the word that was given. And you go sit there like, okay, we'll see if He can do it. No. You have to stay planted. You have to stay rooted so that you are fed.
Yeah.
You need to feed off that word and allow that word to direct how you see things, mm-hmm. to direct what you speak, to direct your expectation. Mm-hmm. Instead of being there almost like in a position to test. Mm-hmm. When we read in that book, in the book of Acts, the believers are expectant. Mm-hmm. They know the God they trust in. Mm-hmm. They've seen a resurrection. Mm-hmm. Some of you, no matter how much you've seen from God, you're still not allowing yourself to walk in a peace mm-hmm. that says He can do it. That says it's not going to take us, you know, working out, deceiving a bunch of people, but it's going to take God moving in the way that only He can.
Mm. And when we look at Isaiah 40, verse 31, also a very well-known scripture, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Yeah, you know, I was meditating on this scripture once, and I thought to myself, oh, so Lord, you know that there's a place of waiting that takes away the strength. Because why would you have to say renew? Mm. It's because you must know that there's a weakening that happens when we wait. Mm. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. Hmm. So if we are waiting opposite, then we won't mount, right? Mm. We'll keep going lower and lower. Mm. They shall run and not grow weary. That means there are people running, getting weary. If you're not waiting upon the Lord, they shall walk and not faint. Mm. It's interesting that it says when you wait, when you remain in the Lord, you renew that strength. So it's not like God is expecting us to be these robotic people who just know, oh, I must trust him and it's going to be okay. This scripture is actually saying that your strength shall be renewed. And, you know, I just want to speak even prophetically just to declare that the Lord is renewing your strength this season. Mm-hmm. Whatever took you out last season, mm-hmm. whatever made you feel like you were depleted and you had nothing to give anymore, according to Isaiah 40:31, remain in the Lord and he will rejuvenate you. He will renew you for what he has in store for you. Mm-hmm. And it's also interesting when we look at the scripture in the end and says, they shall walk and not faint. I used to speak a lot about like a biblical dictionary where the opposites of things in the Bible can be very different from the opposite of language. So I'm going to look for it now just when Danny speaks. But the opposite of faint in prayer is in scripture is prayer. There's actually a scripture that says when you pray, you don't faint. So remain in prayer as well. To not faint is to remain in prayer. I will make sure I find the scripture, but stay in the Lord. And I think ultimately when you were speaking, I was coming to the realization that it's all faith. Mm-hmm. It's just believing what mm-hmm. God told you to believe. Mm-hmm. If he told you to wait in that specific place, wait in that specific place. You know, you spoke about Sarah earlier. Even Hagar, the so-called mistake, was not supposed to leave Sarah. Mm. She wasn't waiting where she was supposed to be waiting. That's why when the angel found her, he said, hey, maiden of Sarah, go back home. This is not where you're supposed to be, at least not now. So the importance of making sure that in season, we are where God wants us to be, and knowing that if he said it, it doesn't have to make sense, it has to make God. That's all. It doesn't have to make sense. It has to make God. And if you have a conviction enough that this is something that the Lord has said, walk in it in accordance with the decision. Accept the decision and walk in it. That is to abide in the Lord. Don't wait for the word to come to pass before you start walking like a queen. Don't wait for the word to come to pass before you start knowing your authority in your family, maybe spiritually, in the workplace. Begin to work out that word within yourself, trusting that the Lord will bring you to the opportunity, to the room, to the place that then is in accordance with that word.
We have to be extremely cautious, you know, and this is the part where I say the working out of your salvation, you know, the mathematical calculation of where you are with your salvation, you know, because it's always so easy to go from abiding to works. Wait, Jesus told them, wait for the Spirit. They're like, oh, okay, now we're going to go stimulate the Spirit now. Maybe when we go cast out demons, something will happen to us. No, abide, work out, understand that, you know, we operate from a place that it's finished. You know, God is not going to do it. God has done. Mm-hmm. We are here to witness the manifestation of what the Lord has done. God has rested. You fight to enter into his rest, to take the word and rest in it. Fight. You know, we were saying to someone this past week to say, look, when you're trusting on God, literally, if you are between the devil and the Red Sea, and you have a boat next to you, burn your boat as well. You know, burn your boat. Make sure, like, look, God, if you don't show up, I'm going to drown in front of this Red Sea. If it does not split, this devil is going to catch me because I burned my boat. I'm not willing to help God. I'm going to trust God. And if God's not going to help me, let me die. If God will not help you, then prepare to die. We'll have your funeral. It will be okay.
You won't die.
Beloved, thank you for joining us today. Continue to trust. Goodbye.
See you next time.
Thank you for joining us on Surviving Life with the Van Billies.
Remember that you can join us every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to hear the entirety of the show, 30 minutes uninterrupted.
And tomorrow from 11 to 1 p.m., you can tune in for our discussions where we get to hear from you and discuss the topic further.
You can WhatsApp us during the live show using 071-364-0376 so that we can hear your opinions, your thoughts, and of course your experiences, and play your voice notes live on air.
And on social media, you can also get us on IG under Impact 103 to be exact. You can also find us on Facebook on Impact Live.
And our personal pages, Surviving Life with the Vambilis, you can just type in at the Vambilis and join all our discussions there as well.
We look forward to having these discussions with you on a weekly basis. Myself, Danny Vambili, and with my lovely wife,
Letitia Vambili. This is us signing off. Until next week.
Goodbye.